Good morning, students. Welcome to our today's teaching on e-learning. Today we are going to learn CRK for SS2B. Our today's topic is going to be the supremacy of God. The supremacy of God. Remember that the last time we treated religious tension in Israel, but today we are going to talk about the supremacy of God. And we are going to get our reading from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17 to 46. 1 Kings 18, 17 to 46. Okay, and then we'll look at 1 Kings 19, 1 to 18. 1 Kings 19, 1 to 18. Okay, now last time we saw how Jezebel and her husband Ahab persecuted the Israelites, how they forced them to worship Baal, how they made it very compulsory for everyone to worship Baal, and how those who deviated from the worship were persecuted. We also saw how a man called Obadiah helped in hiding the prophets of God who have never bowed down to Baal. We also saw how God punished them with a drought that lasted for 3.5 years. But today we are going to see Elijah at Mount Carmel. What God used Elijah to do to the prophets of Baal. Okay. Please pay attention. King Ahab and his wife Jezebel almost succeeded in confusing the Israelites and turning away their hearts from God with the introduction of the worship of Baal in Israel. Now, you remember that it all started from the time Ahab married the woman called Jezebel. She brought her father's god called Baal, and from that moment everything changed, and it was almost difficult for anyone to worship God without being persecuted. The contest on Mount Carmel can be said to have been inspired by God and championed by Elijah to establish the supremacy of God in Israel, and this gave the people a spiritual rebirth. The fact can be buttressed by the way and manner the contest was carried out. Now, there are issues that happen sometimes in our society that we find it difficult to address. You know, Elijah thought he was the only man standing. He never knew there were other prophets who have never bowed to Baal or Asherah. But when he realized this, he was motivated. Now, he had been trying to make things right. He had been trying to make people understand that there is no other God but the living God. He had been trying to make them know that the right thing to do is to worship the Almighty God. But it seemed as if whatever he was saying was falling on deaf ears. And this time, he now put them to a challenge. He challenged them that they should go to Mount Carmel for a contest. A contest that will enable both sides to call their God to come and accept the sacrifice. And any God that answered by fire should be the God everyone will worship. That's amazing, isn't it? Ahab, through the instruction of Elijah, gathered the people of Israel on Mount Carmel. Elijah came to them and said, and I quote, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. From this statement of Elijah, one can see clearly that the contest was meant to establish the supremacy of God. Once again, in the mind of the people, Elijah further made request that, and I quote, "Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it, and I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire to it, and you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire. He is God." You get this instruction, unquote. You get this instruction from 1 Kings 18, 23 to 24. Okay. The prophets of Baal, numbering 450, we are given the chance to pray and call on the name of Baal. These prophets, you know, that is exactly what we have as a problem in our society today. A lot of people are having this title they gave themselves, prophets or pastors, confusing people one way or the other, saying what God did not say, enriching themselves, making money in the name of anointing oil that has been blessed, handkerchiefs, and all the rest of them. You see, when God wants to disgrace someone, it is just through one simple way. The prophets of Baal had been doing all sorts of atrocities, and God just allowed them. But at this contest, God wanted to show them that he is God through Elijah. Let's check out what will happen to them. They prayed from morning till noon, but there was no answer. They even cut themselves and blood gushed out, yet there was no response from their gods. When they confirmed that they were tired, Elijah came and first of all repaired the altar of God, which had been thrown down. Then he picked 12 stones according to the 12 tribes of Israel. He made an altar with these stones in the name of the Lord. He then cut the bull and placed them on the wood and asked the people to pour 4 jars of water on both the wood and the offering. Elijah prayed in the name of the Lord, and fire came down and consumed everything. Now, pay attention, please. Elijah knew exactly what would happen, and he allowed the prophets of Baal to call their God. If you remember, there was this singer, Njideka Okeke, who sang with this particular incident. She sang it in Igbo. He said, "Umunne m ihe jamara dikeruo. Oge rola nu mgbe ndi were neja chon ne ha. Oge rola nu mgbe ndi were naja chon na ha. Ya mere akpomunu gbe ebilie ihe jamara dikeruo." That is the time has come, and at a point, he allowed them to call Baal so that Baal will answer them. Njideka also said, "Bobanu Baalule, Ogabu no Jeraya. Bobanu Baalule, Odiko Jero Mugo." I think she was being satiric in that form. She was just cajoling, she was just making mockery of them, according to what Elijah did. Elijah gave them time, and the Bible said from morning till evening, they called Baal without answering. Without Baal answering them. And so Elijah came on his own part, rebuilt the altar representing the 12 tribes of Israel with stones, and then caught the bull. And of course, he is the God that answered by fire. There's also a popular song that says, "The Lord that answered by fire, he will be my God. He that answered by fire, let him be my God." Immediately, the Bible said, the Lord answered by fire by consuming the sacrifice that was laid at his altar. He really showed that he is Lord. Now, Elijah then ordered the people to seize the prophets of Baal. They were seized and killed. You know, whenever I get to this part of the story, it amazes me how Elijah was able to kill 450 prophets of Baal. And you know what? I'm sure the Spirit of God did not even allow them to move an inch. Even if they had wanted to run, they would have had no strength or stamina to do that. And remember that the people, because of the years they spent in serving Baal and Asherah, they were somehow confused. It seems as if they do not know what the Lord can do. But with a contest at Mount Carmel, it dawned on them that there is no God on earth, on the sea, or anywhere that could be compared with the Almighty God. Okay. The 450 prophets of Baal were seized and killed. Elijah further prayed and rain came back. It rained heavily, and that marks the end of the drought. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? With the rain coming down, eliminating the drought, it shows that God had actually showed his supremacy. Of course, nobody is doubting it. But for the likes of Ahab and Jezebel, they needed to confirm. They needed to confirm. Now, when Elijah prepared his offering, he requested the people to pour water on it. And this was not done when the prophets of Baal prepared their own offering. This shows that Elijah had great confidence in the Lord. He was serving, and when he called on God, he answered him immediately. The people were convinced beyond all reasonable doubt. Hence, they said, God is God. Okay. You see, some people might have said, Elijah, probably the place he chose as his altar might have been too dry. He might have been too dried. That's why those sacrifices went ablaze. So he asked them to pour water. Just make sure the place is filled with water. Okay? So that no one can dispute. No one can actually dispute that God is almighty. Now, it is not always easy for us to accept our mistakes. But in our society and in our today's activity, every now and then activity, it is important for us to accept our shortcomings, accept our mistakes. If we are doing something wrong and someone out there who is better than us in that regard tries to correct us, we should throw our pride aside, or rather swallow our pride and accept our corrections. When you accept your mistakes and take corrections, you will end up doing better. But the moment someone feels that he is always correct, watch it. The downfall will be at hand. Okay, now let us look at the lessons derived from Elijah's actions. Let us look at the lessons we learned from Elijah's actions. Number one, the destruction of the 450 prophets of Baal shows the supremacy of God over Baal and other lesser gods. Of course, no one can compare the powers of the Lord. No one. Even when they are doing America Wonder, trying to convince us, trying to make us, you know, forget what the Bible had already taught us. Forget it. No one can contest with God. No one can challenge God. None. Okay? The next point is, God is a consuming fire, but he is slow to anger. He gives a sinner a long time to repent of his or her sin, But if he or she fails to repent, God's judgment is always decisive. Very true. Every now and then we offend God. Every now and then we offend God. And some of us might be thinking we are very smart. That is why we are still alive. I can assure you, the reason why we are still alive is because of Jesus Christ. If you read the Old Testament, you will see what happened to the people before Jesus came. During the time of Moses, when Christ has not come, people died according to the kind of sin they committed. But when Christ came, we acquired grace. And grace is said to be an unmerited favor. That is why we are still alive, despite all our shortcomings. But then we should not take advantage of that and kind of make ourselves feel that we are too powerful. We are all living by God's mercy. And without his mercy, honestly, you and I wouldn't be alive. Okay. Now, another point is that the Baal prophets had been in Israel for a long time. God did not destroy them immediately. He gave them enough time to repent. It was until God's appointed time that he decided to destroy them through Elijah. So don't be deceived by some of these mushroom churches prophesying one thing or the other, trying to get money from you and your family members, telling you stuff. And the moment they say something, you believe them immediately. Come on, they had always been there. All of them perpetrating such acts. They are not alive because they are powerful. God is only giving them time to repent, just like he's giving you and I. Okay, another point is that people should endeavor to abhor evil and follow the path of righteousness. Abhorring evil here means condemning evil. When you see something wrong, please condemn that is wrong. Don't support evil. When you see that somebody is doing something wrong, don't support that person. Try and condemn that act so that you will not be a witness, so that when the punishment comes, you won't be a partaker of such. Is that okay? All right. Another point is that in today's society, many people commit all sorts of crime. The fact that God does not kill them does not mean that what they are doing is right, or that they will go free in the sight of God. No. God will always give them chance to repent. And if they fail, that is the time he will destroy them. The Bible had already made it very clear that there is reward for every sin. Inasmuch as we are not trying to judge anyone, we should always try to do the right thing. Another point is that there is reward for righteousness. There is reward for righteousness. Another point is that God is powerful. He works in a miraculous way. He works in a miraculous way. He who contests with God is bound to fail. Yeah, we cannot challenge God. Okay. I hope you have learned one or two things. Please make sure you use your Revised Standard. Don't use King James Version of the Bible or any other Bible. Use the one, the syllables, the YX syllables has prescribed for us, the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And then later, try to narrate the contest on Mount Carmel. Take a sheet of paper, narrate the contest on Mount Carmel. That is, give account of the contest on Mount Carmel. Remember that it is important for you to note how many prophets of Baal that we are there at the contest. Make sure you include it in your narration. Okay, I'll see you next time. Have a nice day.